Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors at our Delaware campus and in the process of launching our Marion campus. And speaking of Marion, I hope next week, this is my teaser for next week, that I will have some very exciting news for you. I'm going to leave it at that for now. And if I don't have very exciting news for you, well, that'll be a bummer, but it's going to work out no matter what. Thanks for joining us. Really thankful that you're here. As we've done each and every Tuesday over the past couple months, I've just been bringing to you a selection from my personal devotional time. Last week, we finished up the book of Daniel, and this week and next week, we're going to be in the book of Hosea. Hosea kicks off a section of the Bible we call the Minor Prophets. It's not that their words are less significant than other prophets. It's just their books are relatively shorter in length in comparison to the other prophets. And you could go into a couple other things there, but I'll keep it as simple as that for now. So Hosea is a challenging book to read for several different reasons. Number one, it's difficult to understand to a degree. In one sense, it's very easy to understand, as we'll see in a second. But in another sense, there's a lot of poetry in Hosea. And so you're reading and you're like, I'm not really sure what this means. Thankfully, I have a study Bible. I've recommended that before. I would absolutely recommend that to you. It is so helpful in understanding what is being said and why that matters and is important and significant. But Hosea is a relatively short book. It is 14 chapters, but the chapters are a pretty quick read, depending on how in-depth you want to get into your study and making sure you really understand what's being said. So why Hosea is difficult, I mentioned just understanding what's being said from a translation standpoint, understanding the poetry, but also from the just the language of Israel's continued unfaithfulness and the punishment and the consequences that they have to endure as a result of their unfaithfulness. And sometimes, frankly, that's hard to read. But as difficult as that is to read at times, what I hope overshadows the difficult circumstances and the consequences of their unfaithfulness is the incredible love of God, even in the midst of their unfaithfulness. And that's really what I want to key in on. We'll talk about the severity of sin, but we'll also talk about the incredible love of God over the next, this week and next. And so the book of Hosea is the first three chapters. You can break this book into three sections, but the first three chapters are an illustration lived out in real life. And so the prophet Hosea, we are introduced to him in verse one, and then in verse two, the setup of the rest of the book happens. Chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For, like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.' So," verse 3, "he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son." So you get in the second verse, the setup, if you will. So God says to Hosea, "I want you to marry this woman. And what I'm telling you is this woman is promiscuous." So the indicator here is that this woman has a reputation already, that she is unfaithful. But yet God is saying, I want you to marry her to be faithful to her, knowing that she is going to be unfaithful to you. And your marriage is a representation of my marriage or my covenant that I've established with Israel. Israel has been unfaithful to me. Israel will continue to be unfaithful to me. God brought this nation out of Egypt and made himself their God. He was faithful to them, and yet they're unfaithful to God. And so that's the setup of this entire book. It's an allegory. It's an illustration in a sense. And so when we get into chapter 2, I'll just read verse 5 for you, the second portion of verse 5. This is now speaking of Gomer and the way in which she has lived, even as she is married to Hosea. It says, "She said, 'I will go after my lovers, who gave me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink.'" And so essentially we get this picture that Gomer has been unfaithful, just as God said she would be. And God then relates this to Israel, and then we get into chapter 3, and this is where I want to spend the next couple of minutes, as I know I need to wrap this up because we're all already at 5 minutes. But chapter 3, several verses I want to read, says this, beginning in verse 1, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, show your love to your wife again. though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her, this is now Hosea speaking, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. So I just want you to imagine the incredible difficulty of this, that your spouse has run out on you, has gotten herself into a position where you literally have to buy her back as a prostitute, in a sense, in order to show your faithfulness to her, or and how hard that would be. And yet, that's that's what God does for us through Jesus. Jesus buys us back through his blood. And I want you to just imagine the incredible cost of that, the incredible cost of buying this people, us, who we have sinned against God. Every single person has gone their own way. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The scriptures are so abundantly clear in that. We have all rejected God, the one who created us, who has been faithful to us, we have been unfaithful to. And what God does through his Son, God in the flesh, Jesus, he buys us back from the dominion of darkness, frees us from slavery. Just as Gomer was enslaved in chapter 3 of Hosea, you and I, we have been enslaved in sin our entire lives before we come to Jesus. Jesus buys us and makes us new and says, I am going to be faithful to you. Now you be faithful to me. And what struck me in that is just this point that no one is ever out of reach of the love and the faithfulness of God received through the person of Jesus Christ. No one is ever out of reach. This story is sort of the epitome of what unfaithfulness looks like. And it's also the incredible illustration of what God's faithfulness and willingness to receive us, even in our brokenness, even in our dirtiness, even in everything that we walk through, that he loves us. He wants to buy us back through the blood of Jesus. And so maybe there's somebody in your life that you've just written off and said, no way. No way is that person ever going to begin a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you yourself have walked through some really hard stuff. You have sinned and you have been sinned against. And you think, no way, I am too dirty, I am too messed up, I am too broken to be received by the God of the universe. And Jesus says, yet while you were a sinner, I loved you. That's Romans 5:8. Yet while we were still sinners, God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so I want to just say that to you this morning, and maybe that needs to be applied in your own life. Maybe you need to think about that in an application to another, to reach out, to share the gospel, to share the love of God through the person of Jesus. So I want to pray for you, and I want to encourage you to pray as well. And I hope you'll join us again tomorrow, and I hope you join me again next Tuesday as we wrap up the book of Hosea. So let's pray, and then again, you pray as well. Father, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Father, that while we were still sinners, Jesus, you died for us and you purchased us through your blood. And we just want to praise you and thank you for that. Father, would you direct our hearts to receive that personally, or to think of someone who needs to understand that they're not too far gone. No one is out of reach from you through Jesus. God, we love you. Direct us and guide us, lead us in only the ways that you can. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.